I appreciated the members of the choir who helped us experience that passage from Ecclesiastes, a time for this, a time for that. And there are many of us that when we hear that passage, we just want to sing, turn, 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 don't we, by the birds? There is a time for everything. And some of us say, if there's a time for everything, how come I don't have time for anything? Time is funny, and people sitting right next to each other might experience time differently. There are some times where we're so engrossed in what we're doing, time just flies. Where did the time go? There are other times where it is so slow or so tedious that we just keep watching that clock and it just never gets there. How can two people have such two different experiences of the same amount of time? It's kind of like sermons, you know? Some 23-minute sermons feel like they're only about 8 minutes long, and some 15-minute sermons feel like they're an hour. It's like, oh, would this guy ever stop talking? I have a rule about preaching, and that is, if you get up there and you know it's not good, keep it short. So, brothers and sisters, may you go in peace this day. And take God with you wherever you go. Take time to be holy. Love God, yea, Jesus. And away we go. Time. Do we understand the impact of time? If you want to understand the value of a year, to realize the value of a year, talk to a student who has failed a grade and has to repeat it. To realize the value of a month, speak with the mother who gave birth prematurely to a baby. If you want to realize the value of 1 week, ask somebody with a weekly deadline. Say a sermon that has to be preached every Sunday. If you want to realize the value of an hour, ask lovers who are waiting to meet. If you want to realize the value of a minute, talk to that person who, just having run through the airport, just barely missed their flight. To realize the value of a second, talk to somebody who just avoided an accident. And to realize the value of a millisecond, speak to that Olympic athlete with a silver medal around their neck. We have heard this before. Remember, time waits for no one. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Time is a present. It is a gift. And as we grow older, we realize that time seems to go by fast. Seasons come and go, and it seems like they're coming and going with greater pace. Last night in the chapel, I did a baptism, just an adorable little girl, Dr. Smith's granddaughter. Many of you know Dr. Smith, and this young woman who has this infant also has a three-year-old, and after the service, she came up to me. I was talking to Dr. Smith, and she said, oh, it seems like just yesterday we baptized this little three-year-old girl, and Dr. Smith said, it seems like just yesterday we baptized you. I get that. I get that. Time goes fast. For some young mothers and some young fathers, each day is a grind. They take forever. And yet the wisdom people in their lives, the mature people in their lives say, oh, value this time. You know, it's precious. It's going to be gone before you know it. And that's true. We know that. But when you're the parent with spit up on your shoulder and no sleep, it really isn't that helpful. We know we can count on many things and we can save many things, but time is not one of them. At some point, we're all going to run out of time, and there's not anyone here who knows exactly when that is going to happen. You cannot count your time left, and you cannot overspend your time. It is God-given. The psalmist's pen wrote, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This day is a gift. Each and every day is a gift. Each and every day is a blank slate to be an episode in your life. And some of them are filled with joy and some of them are tragic, but every day shapes you. Are you making the most of every single one of your days? Or is time too complicated?" So let me simplify time. How do we simplify time? That's the question that we have today, and I'm going to answer it right away. We simplify time by understanding how we spend it and by being intentional. And no, this is not a time management talk. This is a sermon in a house of worship. But we need to understand how we spend time. Now, I know that because of my commute, I spend a lot of my time in a car listening to the radio, and I hear all kinds of ads. And within the last couple of years, there was this ad for a place called Ideal Image. Do we know what Ideal Image is? And this Ideal Image said this: "The average American spends 52 hours a year getting rid of unwanted body hair." I think, wow, how hairy are we? You know, 52 hours a year getting rid of unwanted body hair. So I'm rebelling. That's why I've started this beard. I'm not going to spend any time getting rid of unwanted body hair. But how do we spend our time in America? The Bureau of Statistics in America did a study, and this is how Americans spend their time. And it may be different than how you spend your time, because this is a study of young and old, retired and working, and student alike. The average American spends 8.5 hours in bed. How many of you wish you could spend 8.5 hours a day in bed? They spend 7.75 hours working. How many of you wish you only spent 7.75 hours a week working? 5.3 hours in leisure, of which the average American watches the television 4.5 hours a day. Some people have it on far more than that. Some don't even have TVs in their homes. The average American, 4.5. We spend 1.25 hours on household activities and 1.2 hours eating and drinking. My question is, where is our time for God? Do we tithe our time? When you're 70 years old, you will have had at your disposal 613,600 hours, and of that, 204,400 will be devoted to sleep, 176,800 devoted to work and school, 51,100 hours to eating, bathing, and going to the bathroom, hopefully not all at the same time, 76,000 hours to household chores, leaving 66,975 hours for other activities. Again, let me ask, where is your time for God? Can we see ourselves as stewards of time? Now, all of us in the United Methodist Church that have been ordained elders had to stand before the bishop and the assembly and take these ancient vows of ordination from the founder of our movement, John Wesley. And John Wesley was very methodical in how he lived his life, hence the name Methodist, methodical. He actually did a study over a long course of time to try and figure out exactly how little sleep he needed to still function at his peak. And for him, it was 6 hours. 6 hours. But here are the questions. Are you resolved to devote yourself wholly, wholly to God and his work? And those of us who have taken these vows said, yes, of course. And the bishop never once said, wholly? Are you determined to employ all your time to the work of God? And we all said, yes, of course. And the bishop never once said, all of your time? And so we hear John Wesley say, will you observe the following directions? Be diligent, never be unemployed, never be triflingly employed, never trifle away time. That's my spiritual gift, trifling away time. Never spend any more time at any one place than is strictly necessary. And two, be punctual, do everything exactly at the time. And of course, we all said, yes, of course. We're called to account for how we use our time. Time is a gift, and we must use it wisely. And so to this church in Ephesus, in the 5th chapter, there's two verses that say this: be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, for the days are evil. Live wise lives, making the most of your time. Now, I listened to one preacher who spoke on this text, and he said there's something interesting about time. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Regular, consistent investments of time over time are cumulative. They build up to something. But the same is true of neglect. Neglect is cumulative. It is easy to neglect something, but it is costly. And so we have this society where many of our households have one parent that does seemingly everything, tends to all of the children's needs, is there with them each and every day, and the other parent is absent, and the other parent swoops in and does something fun with the children for a weekend and then brings them back to the parent who is making the investment of time, time after time, day after day. We have phrases in our society for something like that, a Disney dad, although that is not fair to say. We have our own Dan Murphy is a single father who day after day, time after time, is making a difference in his son's life to try and raise him up. Our children know who invested time wisely and who did not. Invest your time because it is cumulative. In that passage to Ephesus, the Greek word for make the most of can mean to redeem or to get the full value. Are you positive that at all times you are getting the full value of the time that God has given you? Hebrews 12 gives us this account of all these great people of faith who have gone before us, this great cloud of witnesses, and in response to their lives, we are called to strip off every heavy weight that slows us down. Everything that leads us to waste time, to misuse time, to misspend our time. Do we really have anything to show for all of the time that we have invested? Are we giving our time to things that don't matter? Because if we are, then the things that really do matter have no time. The good news is we get to choose where our time goes. But what are some of the things that are weights that rob us of our time that can be used for something of a higher purpose? The Bible speaks right to it. Jesus, who lived this perfect life, teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount everything that we need to know for a foundation. And he says this in chapter 6, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Worry can steal our time. Worrying about things that we have no control over, a great anxiety that has control of us, makes us frozen where we are. Not good stewards of our time. As a matter of fact, doctors would say, if you are a chronic worrier, not only are you adding hours to your life, you're probably taking hours off of your life. A second weight that weighs us down is this human desire to conform. You know, we watch TV for 4.5 hours and we see what we're supposed to be. We want to conform to it. And yet the Bible talks to us in Romans, do not conform to the 4.5 hours worth of a lifestyle that you see on TV, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. If I spend all my time the way culture tells me to do it, I am certainly going to live only for my own selfish desires. If I am using my time to pursue things that only give me temporary satisfaction, there won't be any real satisfaction at all. Let me say it even stronger. If we don't live lives that are intentional, we are going to live lives that are accidental. When we waste time, we have no time for that which really matters. So let's be intentional with our time. Let me make you uncomfortable. Let's be stewards of our time and tithe intentionally our time. We know what the biblical tithe is, right? 10%. And if we are going to tithe our time, that means that we're going to have 2.4 hours every day devoted solely for God and for the people of God and the service of God and the worship of God. You may say, I don't have 2.4 hours for God every day. That would leave me only 2.1 hours to watch my shows. Really? You don't have 2.4 hours a day to pray, to love, to study, to reflect, to serve, to build relationships, and to tend to the sanctity of your own body, really? Because if you don't have those 2.4 hours, you're going to absolutely hate what I have to say next. It's right from the Bible. Let me just ask this question. How many of you seek to live lives that are in accordance with the Ten Commandments? How many of you strive to keep all Ten Commandments? Did you see that? Nobody's hand went up out there. Your hands were all up, right? Really, you don't all want to live by the Ten Commandments? Please don't tell me which Ten Commandments you don't want to keep, the ones that you want to break. No, as people of God, we want to live by the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments doesn't just talk about 2.4 hours. You really should be ashamed. Not a single one of you raised your hand right away. The Ten Commandments don't talk just about 2.4 hours in our day. The Ten Commandments talk about one whole day. One out of seven that is set aside for God, set aside to be different. A day for Sabbath, a day to be still and allow your body to heal and to refresh. A day to worship God and love your family. A time to remember who you are and whose you are. Brothers and sisters, your boss or your paycheck does not own you. You belong to God. You belong to God. Your TV doesn't own you. You belong to God. Politicians and banks and peers will never, ever own you. You belong to God. And so if we're going to simplify time, we remember that simplifying time means that we have a life that is driven by priorities, not procrastination. Our priorities. One person has said, procrastination is the art of keeping up with yesterday. Friends, we're called to live lives of intention. Jesus burst onto the scene in the Gospels, and he came and he said, the kingdom of God has come yesterday? No. Now, here, and moving forward. The kingdom of God is now. It should have priority. And he left this commissioning to his disciples to do likewise. Simplifying time means that there is always enough time for people. We must prioritize people. Jesus always had time for people. Much to the chagrin of his disciples, as he was going from one place to another, he would engage in these conversations, and they just didn't get it. One of the things I try to say to my staff here all the time is that interruptions are your job, because walking with people is our job, walking them to the kingdom. Simplifying time always has time for people. My daughters and my wife and I, we like musicals, and one of our favorite musicals is Rent, Jonathan Larson. And we know that that perhaps most popular song in that musical is this, Seasons of Love. 525,600 minutes, 525,000 moments so dear, 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year in daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter, in strife. In 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year in the life? And here comes the hook. How about love? Measure in love. Seasons of love. Simplifying time lives by priority, and simplifying time means that we always have time for people. But simplifying time means that there's always enough time for God. If you are a calendar-driven person, if somebody asks you if you can do something and you cannot respond without taking out your smartphone and looking at your calendar, I wonder, do you schedule time in your calendar to read your Bible? Do you schedule time for prayer? Did you put in your calendar this morning, 10:30 worship service, Whitefish Bay, 819 East Silver Spring? More importantly, have you put into your calendar for next Sunday, 10 o'clock worship service, 819 East Silver Spring, park as far away as you can? Invest that time in the lives of the community of faith by walking a little bit longer. Jesus always had time for prayer, as busy as he was, and he protected it. He protected it. And so I want to end with a quote from Oswald Chambers, a man who wrote perhaps the most famous devotional book of all time, My Utmost for His Highest. Oswald Chambers said, "Rarely do I pray for 30 minutes, but almost never do I go 30 minutes without praying." May God bless you, not only as you tithe your time for God's higher purposes, but friends, as a steward of time. May God bless you, and may God fill you. Amen.